welcome everybody on a Tuesday. Trash Talk with Tony Brodsky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, I've got my whole crew back together once again. Eli Bashy, Mike Bilica, Jay Horn, Grant Richards, and Tyler Sawa are all here today. Gentlemen, let's get right into the introductions as per the usual, and let's begin with Eli. How are you today, Eli? How's school and work going for you?
They're going well, Tony. I had work today. I had an exam today. Got them all done. Now it's relaxing time. Pretty busy school week this week, but Pistons also start this week, preseason at least.
They start preseason this week.
Very much looking forward to that.
When this comes out, the Pistons' first preseason game will be tomorrow on Wednesday. And we are also, when this drops, it will be 15 days, I believe, from the season opener at home against the Bulls. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
The whole Trash Talk crew there.
Oh, the whole crew's going to be there. And obviously, I put it on Twitter and Instagram. My K jersey came in the mail today. Oh, I'm so ready, man. I saw that jersey. Well, I saw the package. I'm like, I know exactly what this is. So I got the jersey out, put it on. I'm like, oh, I'm so ready. I'm so ready. I cannot wait to get to LCA. For me, it'll be the first time since March 9th or 8th for the Red Wings 2020. Me and Tyler went to that game. That was the last time I was at LCA. And oh, I'm so ready. I'm so ready to get inside LCA and see, hopefully, Cade's first game. He's got a bit of an ankle injury. Hopefully, that's nothing too serious. I'll keep him out for too long, but I'm ready. I'm so ready. In the meantime, though, great to have Eli back. It's great to have everyone else back. Let's move on to Mike Bilica. How are you today, Mike? How was your weekend? I know you had a great weekend between Alabama and Mac on Sunday night, playing well, outplaying Tom Brady, even though he lost. Outplayed Tom Brady. Mac really impressed me on Sunday nights. So, Mike, how you doing? How was your weekend?
I'm doing good. I had a good weekend, relaxed a bit, but
well, I know
you're
absolutely
right about Mac. I had to relax for that. I needed to get ready for that. There's a lot going on over there.
Mac was good on Sunday night, even though they lost. He played very well in that game. I thought he played better than Tom Brady. The only reason Brady ended up with a victory back in Foxborough is because of a doink off the post. But other than that, you know, again, I thought Mac did very well in that situation. Having Tom Brady coming back to Foxborough, it's a big moment for any quarterback, let alone a rookie. And Mac held his ground. He held his ground, and I'm proud of Mac. I know you are too, your boy.
I'm very proud. He was cooking, I'll tell you that.
Oh, okay, you're done. We're moving on here. No comments about Alabama?
What is there to say? It's the same thing every week. They just absolutely destroy their opponent. I mean, that's just how it's going to go.
Well, there's another SEC team that's absolutely destroying people. Good old Georgia. They shut out the number 8 team in the country on Saturday. Oh, Georgia. I don't think they had their starting quarterback in that game either. I think they were missing the starting quarterback, and they just still rolled against the number 8 team in the country at the time. So, Alabama and Georgia, those SEC teams, man.
The national championship game, that's what it's going to be.
An SEC national championship? Oh, boy.
There's nothing more I can ask for.
I know Mike would love that.
Big Ten team's not going to be in there.
No. Uh-oh. Let's move on now. Jay Horn, how are you today, Jay?
Pretty good. On the road, per usual.
Yeah, you were in East Lansing this weekend. How was that?
I don't remember. I have no idea. It was a fun time. Saw a lot of friends from high school, you know. It was pretty fun.
Did you go to the Michigan State game or no?
Oh, I didn't make it that far. I just went tailgating with some friends. It was pretty fun.
Any comments on Tom Brady's quote-unquote win on Sunday night?
It was all pretty nerve-wracking. I thought we were going to lose the game.
Tom looked a little nervous out there.
Mac Jones is actually legit, I think. So,
yay.
Shout out to Mike. I'll give him that.
Hey, now.
A little awkward with Bill Belichick, though. I don't really think he likes Tom any, you know, that much, but it was pretty cool seeing that.
Apparently there was a 30-minute conversation in the locker room afterwards. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a plus, but, you know, good game for Tom, and we're back on.
Oh, yeah, good game for Tom. Got
we're back next week.
Outplayed by rookie Mac Jones. Yeah, okay. whatever. On to Tyler Sawa. We'll save Grant for last. Tyler, welcome back. How are you today?
It's been a day. It's been a day.
Oh, no. What's going on?
You know, I've been at work all day. My laptop's not working. I mean, it's been a freaking day. I hate to be the Debbie Downer. You guys are all having great days, but today's not my day.
Oh, no. We all have down days.
Tigers baseball's over, too. It's just not been good, man.
Well, we're going to cheer you up in a little bit because we will talk Tigers baseball.
Are we going to talk about the Lions?
Briefly, not long.
Oh, great.
Briefly. No, briefly. Great. Briefly. Briefly. Yes, briefly.
The last 48 hours, not to be the Debbie Downer, but it is just not good. Not good.
But we're going to talk baseball, though. That always cheers you up.
Yeah, to talk about how the season's over.
We're going to look back at the positives, though. The positives. And look ahead towards maybe future positives.
All right.
Tyler's really messed up.
I told you, I'm never like this. I hate to be negative, but it's just one of those days. It's one of those days.
IG was down too. We couldn't get on IG.
No, man, it was terrible. It's been a terrible day.
Oh, Tyler. Well, I'm gonna try to cheer you up with Tigers talk, but he doesn't even sound thrilled for that. Oh, well, we'll attempt to cheer Tyler up. Last but not least, Grant Richards, you know the plan here. How are you, Grant? And as always, Mike.
How was the sports betting this week?
Oh, no. I don't want to talk about it.
I don't really want to talk about it. I mean, at least the sports betting. It wasn't a bad weekend, but Tony, I sent you that screenshot of my college football parlays. Hit every single one of them, 2 out of 3. So that was kind of fun.
Wasn't there one that was 3 out of 4?
Thanks. Yes, there was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm gonna do my best, Eli. I'm sorry.
But I mean, other than that, like, kind of feeling a little bit of Debbie Downer with Tyler here. Just
Two Debbie Downers.
I'm getting throttled in fantasy, man. Like, whatever. That's no one cares. Other than that, weekend. I mean, I appreciate that. My only bet that hit was kind of put some change on the table for the Michigan game, and that went well. So I can rest my laurels on that. Yeah, Tony came to me Friday night. Hey, just so you know, I'm locking in Wisco -2.
I didn't say lock in. I said my exact words were, I'm hammering it. That's how confident I was, man.
And I don't know my exact words, but it was somewhere along the lines of, Tony, you are burning money.
Those were your words. I remember. You're burning money, Tony.
With that being said, Tony, other than that game, Tony, how was your sports betting weekend?
Well, I mean, how can I not talk about that game when I talk about my sports betting week? Oh, my goodness. It's really frustrating because I was having a winning week until the weekend. You know, I've talked about this before on the pod in previous episodes, but what I do before baseball ended, sorry, Tyler, before baseball ended, I would bet baseball Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the weekends would be just football. It was a winning week going into the weekend thanks to baseball, but then as I got away from baseball and went into football, it turned into a losing week. I didn't win one bet on college football Saturday this week. Not one. Sunday, we won a little bit. Lions +3 did not hit. I was so confident about Lions +3. Rams -4.5. Oh, that did not hit. Oh, the Rams lost on Sunday to the Cardinals. That was not a great game for Matthew Stafford and the Rams. But it's all right. They'll bounce back. And so am I. And so is Grant. We're going to bounce back from these losing betting weeks. We're going to bounce back, make it a winning week. Hopefully starting tonight at the time of recording this with Monday Night Football, Raiders, Chargers. And with that, Grant, do you want to do what we did the last time the Raiders were on Monday Night Football? And depending on the result, we can just record like a quick 5-minute post-game reaction tonight? I mean, that's up to you. I could do whatever, but what do you want to do?
I mean, I'm down. I'm going to be awake for the entire thing, so might as well talk about it regardless of an outcome. But I just really quickly, Tyler, did you think the Raiders were going to be 3-0 by the time we got to this game?
I did not, no.
All right, to be fair, I didn't either. So,
man, Tyler was already having a bad day, and we're just going to rain on his parade even more.
We're just going to throw more dirt on him.
To be fair, I'm still not on the Raiders wagon, though. Not going to lie.
No, I mean, that's fine. There's always room for more, but you'll come around. But no, I mean, I didn't.
Do they win tonight?
I think so. They're playing well. They're like still figuring something out on defense, but I think it's just going to be a shootout. I think defense kind of goes out the window here.
Well, with
quick passes from Derek Carr, cause the O-line's going to be a little whatever. Sorry, Tony, I'm bogarting your show.
No, you're good. With that, we are going to move into the part after the game, the Monday night game between the Raiders and Chargers, where it's just going to be me and Grant talking about what happened in this game. Are we going to talk about a win? Are we going to talk about a loss? I have no idea yet at the time of recording this. But now, let's go into the post-game reaction with me and Grant. All right. Hello, everybody. I'm being joined by Grant. It is after the Monday night game between the Raiders and the Chargers. Oh, no. You know what, Grant? I don't think it's a coincidence that the first episode that Tyler comes back, the Raiders suffer their first loss of the season. Oh, goodness.
I hate that you said that because I was thinking that. Oh. Like, as he came on the show, I was like, you know, he hasn't been on and the Raiders have won. Whatever.
Oh, well. Can't win them all, Grant. Can't win them all. Grant, this is all for you. I'm going to let you take this one away. Give me your quick 5-minute reaction to the Raiders loss tonight to the Chargers.
Definitely joking. First, just wanted to clear that up. Would rather have Tyler on the show than think he's the reason the Raiders lost. But anyway, no, I mean, it was kind of a disgusting first half. The Raiders offensive line is a lot worse than I thought it was, or than I gave it credit for. That was interesting to see. And then with a bad offensive line, of course you try and run the ball like 13 times. Just because Josh Jacobs is in the game doesn't mean he has to run. And then all of a sudden, third quarter, they wake up. It's an incredible offense, deep ball to Ruggs, just lighting it up. Derek Carr's picking the Chargers apart, and then that stopped happening. I don't know. The defense looked good at times. I mean, they're young. It's a lot of really young guys, and everyone got hurt all of a sudden. They said it about 4 times that our starting nickel safety and starting cornerback were out. And, I mean, injuries are no excuse, but that obviously doesn't help. But great third quarter, just not great game. And the Chargers are a threat. I took them a little lightly because they're always the Chargers, but Phillip Rivers is gone. That era's over, and Justin Herbert could be the man in the coming years.
You know, you mentioned how the first half was just terrible, which it was offensively, defensively. Just not a great first half for Vegas. Down 21-0 at halftime. Wasn't looking great, but I will give you credit because something clicked in the third quarter on both sides of the ball. You're getting stops on defense, and then your offense got 2 touchdowns to make it a 7-point game. And you were back in this one, but suddenly you were right back into this football game. But, you know, the 2 key points for me in this one, Grant, first of all, the missed field goal. Me and you were talking about it during the game. What exactly did you say to me about Daniel Carlson? Oh, no, it was about John Gruden, how he hates kickers.
Yeah, I said John Gruden probably hates kickers. Even when they make it, he probably wants to go for every 4th down. But knows it's not smart. But well, I also did say Daniel Carlson is he's deadly when he has to make it. But when it's like a, oh, the defense can just get a stop, and like it's not a game-deciding field goal. When it's not a game-deciding field goal, he's not the kicker he is when it's 3 seconds left in the game. But whatever, you kickers, you can't live with them, can't live without them.
So that was the, one of the two big moments for me. And then the second one was the Chargers going down the field and scoring to make it 28-14. Again, we were texting during the game. You said your classic line of a whole lot of game left. There's a lot of ball game left. And I need to text you this, but I was thinking to myself, Grant, I don't think so. It was 5 minutes left at the time they scored that touchdown. I think they took 5 minutes off the clock to score that touchdown. I just did not see you getting two scores, at least two scores against that defense that late in the game. You just faced a pretty good football team tonight, though. I mean, you talked about it, and myself and Tyler, we've been on the Chargers for a while now. Even before the season started, they were kind of the popular pick amongst NFL fans to be like a sneaky wild card team this year. And this game on national television showed exactly why. There are a lot of people high on the Chargers coming into the season. Justin Herbert is awesome. Brandon Staley, a lot of people compare him to a defensive version of Sean McVay. That defense played unbelievable tonight, and they are a really, really good defense, period. They got weapons on offense. I mean, Grant, you just faced a pretty good team tonight. So, you're still 3-1, okay? Now you got the Bears next week in your place. That's a game I think you should win. The Bears just aren't very good. Even though they beat my Lions, they just aren't a good football team. It's a must-win next week. You got to bounce back after this performance, though.
Yeah, AFC West is very contentious right now. Three teams tied at 3-1, and then I mean the Chiefs are gonna make a surge, so I mean it's anyone's division. And Raiders go Bears, Broncos, Eagles in the next three before the leading into their bye week. I don't think it's wrong to expect 3-0 from that. Those aren't great teams or teams to particularly watch out for, but I don't think it's like if they play like they played in their first three games, I don't think that's too much to ask for.
No, I don't think it's impossible to think that you bounce back and rattle off three more straight wins. But as we'll talk about later in the podcast with Michigan football, at the same time, just take it one game at a time. Focus on the Bears. Focus on getting a win against a team you should beat in your place. And just try to bounce back from this performance, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do. We're on to the Bears.
You know what? Before we get out of here, I do have to give a quick shout out to your sweet baby Hunter Renfro. He was doing it offensively and defensively tonight. That tackle on the fake punt attempt, I nearly leaped out of my seat. I'm like, is that Hunter Renfro? Oh, that was Hunter Renfro. Oh, man.
Sweet baby Hunter. That was sweet a baby. That was a pop.
That was a hit, man. Stick on Madden, man.
He came down, like, from the time the punter released the ball, Hunter Renfro came down, like, 20 yards downfield before the, whoever that was, I don't know his name, made the catch or attempted catch, but that was immaculate and scored a touchdown. I mean, he's coming out of nowhere, man. Like, he used to just be a third down guy, and now he's, like, getting it done. He's a valid receiver in the NFL.
People are starting to come onto the Hunter Renfro train. I like to think that I've been here for a while, since the rookie days when he was with the Raiders. And when he was with Clemson, too. He was a beast at Clemson. But nonetheless, can't win them all. Pretty tough loss on Monday Night Football tonight for the Raiders. But again, I mean, the Chargers are just... they're looking pretty good. Meanwhile, the Raiders, you could bounce back next week and maybe rattle off a few more wins after that, then suddenly this loss isn't going to really hurt as much. But Grant, any final thoughts before we get out of here and move on to the rest of the program?
I think I'm just going to take a page out of Bill Belichick's book, and we're on to Chicago.
Hey, there we go. There we go. You want to give a good old Raiders before we get out of here?
Only in victory.
Oh, okay. Grant.
If it was a hard-fought game, maybe. But
kind of.
I just, not deserving it.
Kind of, in like one quarter.
yeah, 25% great game.
Oh, goodness. All right, Grant, thanks for staying up with me. Now, on to the regularly scheduled program. And welcome back to the regularly scheduled program. Let's get into the rest of the show today. We got a lot to talk about. To end the program, we'll do some Michigan, some Michigan State as per the usual. I've already kind of mentioned this a little bit, but we are briefly, when I say briefly, I mean briefly, talk about the Lions-Bears game. I don't want to spend too much time on that because of how much of a crap show it was. I really don't want to talk about that Lions-Bears game, but there are a few quick things I want to mention with that. We'll get to that later in the program, though. I want to start today on a high note. I want to help Tyler get out of his bad state right now. He's not having a great day, so let's attempt to cheer him up, I guess.
Yeah, let's talk about the Lions.
Are you not listening to me?
I love Jared Goff.
Oh
no, we're not starting with Lions. Everybody settle down. We are not starting with Lions. We'll get to
honestly
that.
Like I'm not even hurt by the Lions. Like I kind of we expected this. I'm like, you know, it is what it is.
We're not getting into Lions right now.
Okay, yeah, but I'm just saying.
No. We'll save that for later. But we're going to try to cheer Tyler up with something that always cheers him up, and hopefully this will help him out today. Tigers baseball. Though it's the end of the season, there's still a lot of good things to talk about with regards to the Tigers season ending, because there's a lot to look forward to in the future. But before we talk about that, let's look back at 2021, and let's look back on what turned out to be a really fun an encouraging season for the Tigers. I did not think I was going to say that back in April. Tyler, I don't know if you remember, but back in April, when the Tigers started the season like 8-24 or whatever it was, I mean, when the Tigers were looking as bad as they were in April, I went to you and I'm like, man, this might be worse than 2019. Like, this team just looks really, really terrible right now. It wasn't looking great in April, but after that, team started to play better. They were starting to roll a little bit, and it turned into a very fun and encouraging season for the Tigers. Despite the rough month of April, the Tigers ended the season with a record of 77-85, which was their best finish since 2016. The Tigers this season, since May 8th, finished with a record of 68-61, and they also finished with a record of, I believe it was 35-33 since the All-Star break. So since May 8th, the Tigers finished above 500. And since the All-Star break, the Tigers finished above 500. Only two games, but they still finished above 500. And again, after a rough start to the season, it really turned into, as I mentioned already, a really fun and encouraging season for the Tigers. We saw history made with regards to Miggy especially. we saw other records be broken. We saw some young guys step up out of nowhere and make names for themselves. We saw some veterans come out of absolutely nowhere and really perform for this team. We saw some other veterans that we knew were probably going to perform for this team, but they really shined for the Tigers this year, i.e. Robbie Grossman, our boy, Section 104 forever. We love you, Robbie. But we saw all those things. We saw AJ Hinch take over this team and in year one give fans so much optimism and hope for the future. AJ Hinch really does deserve a lot more credit for what he did with this team this year. I mean, this roster, not to be mean here, but I'm just telling you the truth. The roster on paper is not great. I wouldn't say they're terrible, but it's not like a great roster.
What are they? They're like near the bottom of the league in payroll, right?
Yeah,
I saw a stat that the Mets were third in payroll and the Tigers were like 23rd or 28th or something.
Oh, the Mets
finished with the same record.
Did we finish with the same record as the Mets?
We did, yeah.
We did. Oh.
We ended up, yeah.
Well, and, the Mets.
And like a couple games behind the Padres.
No, I'm sorry, Grant. I'm sorry, Grant.
Well, that's insane. No, Grant is a Tigers fan at this point.
At this point, definitely. But
you've adopted the Tigers.
Oh, no doubt, dude. I bought a Tigers quarter zip. I don't even have a Padres quarter zip. But at least the Padres and the Tigers weren't out here practicing World Series celebrations in the preseason or in the spring training. I don't know if you guys remember that, but the Mets were working on it.
I remember that. That was they had to finish the same record as the Tigers.
The Mets stink. The Padres stink. Who cares? But the point of the story here is that despite the Tigers roster, again, I'm being nice here. I'm not trying to be mean, but the roster, there's not too many household names on it, you know? Despite that, and despite coming into the season with little to no expectations at all, AJ Hinch and his staff got this team to exceed expectations and overperform so much. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. There's a reason why I was so excited to have AJ Hinch be hired as the manager of this team. There's a reason why he is one of the best managers in baseball. And we saw that this year. And I'm so excited to see what happens in the future. I'm so pumped for this offseason. Because it's time to spend money. It's time to start winning baseball games starting next year. And I'm really excited to see what the Tigers do to try to make the team better this offseason. And to try to improve the team to win games going forward. Maybe a Carlos Correa. Maybe a Justin Verlander. I don't know, but it's going to be really exciting. Nonetheless, I'm going to bring Tyler in here to give his spiel as well. But like I've said already, it was a really fun and encouraging season. And I can't wait. I'm so pumped for the future of this team. I did not think I'd be saying that in April. I really didn't. But here we are. I'm so ready. Tyler?
You made it work. I'm smiling and I'm excited.
Everyone, unmute your mics and clap.
Yeah, knock on wood if you're with me.
That was just a nice spiel of the Detroit Tigers season. I mean, what an amazing year. What an amazing year by the boys, man. It's just like so many guys you did not expect to produce or even be a big leaguer this year. It just ended up looking like a long-term piece, like starting off with Akil Badu, who was a Rule 5 guy. You know, it was just a guy you thought they would stash, and maybe you'd just get him in there once a week. Eric Haas breaking into the scenes out of nowhere. No one expected him to even make the show at any point during the year. He was the fifth catcher in spring training. And then, you know, even that bullpen, like, we had many questions in that bullpen. I think Gregory Soto was a guy we always liked, but, you know, outside of him, there was a lot of questions, like who's going to be in this bullpen in the long run. Michael Fulmer just kind of revitalizing his career and coming a nice solid reliever was huge for this team. Kyle Funkhauser, who, you know, didn't seem like much after the 2020 season. It seems like a lot of people were giving up on him, which was fair. He kind of revives his career. Looks like a solid bullpen arm. Cisnero just, you know, Cisneros is a bull out there, man. He's consistent.
Don't forget Alex Lang.
Yeah, I was just going to mention him, man. You know, he's another guy that just, you know, he struggled in the beginning of the year when he got an opportunity. But, you know, ever since he got, I don't know if it was a second or third call-up. It was one of those, you know, call-ups after an injury. He just, you know, stepped up into the show and, you know, has some nasty stuff, just has to fix on some control and, you know, command. But I think he could be a solid piece going forward. And then, you know, even a guy like Tyler Alexander is like, what do we expect for him? You know, and now he looks like he could be a solid reliever, even a solid starter if they need to be. And so, I mean, that was just huge. They figured out a lot of their bullpen pieces in this year. And obviously now you have a nice foundation that you could just kind of plug and play with some free agents or some other guys in your system, but you have a nice core and foundation going forward to next season, which was huge because outside of Gregory Soto, I would say he was the only one I was like confident in going from opening day, you know, as a reliever, as a long-term piece. I didn't really have any other guys. So to kind of figure out some other pieces in that bullpen was huge. And then as far as the offensive players too, there was so many questions with guys like at our catching position. And we had two catchers at the time really step up in the season. Jake Rogers unfortunately got hurt and is going to probably miss the 22 season. But, you know, he was really stepping to his own too, looking like an everyday catcher. Eric Haas, like I mentioned. Like, the Tigers just figured out so many things in this season. And that's what we wanted to see. But I think we saw more than we expected, and guys that we didn't expect it from. And that was just really refreshing and, you know, just awesome to now, like, we could, you know, build around these guys now, and that's our foundation. So, you know, AJ Hinch did a phenomenal job, and his whole staff, you know, starting with the pitching coach, Chris Fetter, Scott Kubal, the hitting coach. Like, it goes down the whole system. I mean, AJ Hinch, what he did and what he brought in, and year one, it was unbelievable. And it just gives, you know, Tiger fans all the optimism for the long run. You know, he could build you a legitimate winner. Like, if he didn't pick up real optimism in the 2021 season, you weren't paying attention to the Detroit Tigers this year, because they were exciting. They showed you something that they could be. And, you know, I'm so excited because, like Tony said, in April, it's like, man, you're questioning everything that we just did for the past 5 years. Was this rebuild worth it? And is this going to, like, are we ever going to be good again? But they figured it out. They turned it around and ended up just having a very, very solid season. And, you know, like I mentioned, I'm just super optimistic going forward, going to 22, and then, you know, just the whole process of having AJ Hinch and, you know, Al Avila getting, I guess, a second chance to see what he could do to build a team with, you know, a contender. So we'll see. I'm excited, man.
The team took major steps in their rebuild this year in more ways than one. Obviously, the Major League team, as we've been talking about, they took major steps forward this year. But also down on the farm, in the minors, Mike's favorite, Toledo, Erie, West Michigan. World famous Toledo, that's right, with the Park Inn. Oh, goodness. But in down on the farm, you had Spencer Torkelson have a monster 30 home run season. You had Riley Green play like a superstar. And you had other prospects down there really shine as well. In more ways than one, the Tigers took major steps in their rebuild this year, both from a major league standpoint and a minor league standpoint. And it's exciting. It's really, really exciting. As I've said, I cannot wait to see what the Tigers do this offseason, because it is time to spend money and it's time to make some big moves to get this team ready to win and be possibly in contention starting next year in 2022. And a couple names I mentioned, Tyler, Carlos Correa, Justin Verlander. I mean,
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fun to be talking about this stuff again, like landing big free agents.
Absolutely.
Obviously,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, this is what we were doing like when we were younger, and that's what Mike Gillis was known for, bringing, you know, big free agents, making blockbuster trades. So, you know, we have a lot of ammo too. We have a lot of cap, like Eli mentioned. We're, I think, 23rd, 24th in, you know, payroll right now. So we have a lot of ammo. And also, I mean, we have a good farm system. I'm not saying we're going to trade any of these top guys, but we have, you know, good back end prospects. If, you know, Hinch or Avila are, you know, eyeing a guy that could be potentially traded, they could, you know, they have the ammo to make trades too this offseason, which, you know, you can get some young MLB players on your team. So, you know, the Tigers, like I mentioned, got a lot of ammo going into this offseason.
It's a fun time to be a Tigers fan. Did not think I'd be saying that in April, but it's a really good time to be a Tigers fan. And I'm happy that we cheered Tyler up too. Are you lying to us, or are you actually cheered up?
No, I was actually legitimately smiling when you were like mentioning,
yay,
like, you know, the like just the recap of the season.
Yay. Now, it's not all positives. I mean, there are some negatives, unfortunately.
No, yeah.
I mean, Jake Rogers, as Tyler mentioned when he was talking, he's probably out for next year.
Turnbull.
Turnbull is probably going to be out for next year. Matthew Boyd, who even knows if he's going to be back next year? There's rumblings that they might not pick up his arbitration because of the flexor surgery that he's having or whatever. So,
and he's out until, like, middle of June or something like that.
We don't know how long Matthew Boyd's been.
That's like the earliest. I think that's the earliest as he could return is like the middle of June.
There's actually no timetable for Matthew Boyd's return. We have no idea if he's going to be back or not.
I mean, did you see that picture after that surgery he got? I mean,
yeah.
How does he pitch a baseball after that?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's not all positives, unfortunately, but there are way more positives than negatives. And like I just said, it's really fun to be a Tigers fan right now. It's really, really fun. I'm happy that at the end of the season, we can sit here and talk good about the Tigers instead of the whole same old spiel that we've been talking about throughout the past few years, where it was like, yeah, it was brutal, but you know what? Trust the process. We got a bright future ahead. Let's hope for the best going forward. But we can actually sit here right now and say, we have a bright future. Okay? No sugarcoating it. We have a bright future. Next year, we are going to see two of the top prospects in baseball in Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson on this team. There is a real chance that Carlos Correa is playing on our baseball team in 2022 and beyond. There is a real chance, I believe, though it hasn't been reported yet, and I don't have any sourcing to this. This is literally just my unbiased Tony D opinion. I feel like there is a legitimate chance we could get Justin Verlander back next year. There is a real chance we could get more top players, top free agents around the league in the Old English D next year. And I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait to see what happens.
One more thing, too. It's like the guys that we expected to be like these future good players, they lived up to expectations. And you could say even exceed expectations. Guys like Mize and Skubal. And I would even say Manny to a certain degree. Like, obviously, like he wasn't MLB ready when he got called up. But I thought he got better as the year gone on. Put some quality starts. And he showed you some real flashes of being a good starting pitcher in the MLB. So like
he showed flashes for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we like got what we needed to see. Like Jamer Candelario has another good year. Like we got like guys we expected to be good. Mm-hmm. They did what they had to do, and I would say even some exceeded, which is great, you know?
Yeah. The player I'll mention here, it's not a young guy, but I want to bring him up quickly too, is Miggy. Miggy, in my opinion, he had a really good bounce back season for his career. I mean, obviously it was a big year for him because he hit 500. He got much closer to 3,000 hits. But Miggy just overall had a solid season. And it's funny because just like the Tigers, Miggy had a brutal start to the season. Absolutely brutal. Eli liked to joke how Miggy's batting average was terrible. I mean, there was a point where Miggy was like, what, below 100?
No, it might have got that low like in April, but I remember when we went to a game in June, it like was under 200.
It was under 200, and Eli was making jokes like, damn, Miggy!
And Miggy got a hit and got over 200. Eli's just freaking out because Miggy's over 200. But when they say 200, they knew 300.
But Miggy was struggling to start the season, though. And it got to a point where we were like, what do we do with Miggy? Like he can't be on this team right now batting third or fourth. Like, he is just that bad. But I don't know. Something just clicked. Maybe because the team was starting to play better. Maybe because we were winning more baseball games. I don't know. But something clicked with Miggy, and he was just swinging the bat better. It was good to see Miggy have a bounce back season, because like I said, it got to a point where we were thinking to ourselves, oh boy, what do we do with him? I mean, obviously he's a legend here, he's going to get a statue in center field one day, but what do we do? Because he was that bad. And then something clicked with him, and he just had a bounce back year. It was a good bounce back year for Miggy, and now I'm looking forward to 2022 also, because Miggy is going to get 3,000 hits if hopefully he's healthy to start the year, you know? So that's exciting too. But I want to end the Tigers talk by going to the other gentleman in the call. I'll start with Eli. And this is the same question for all of you, but I want to start with Eli here. Before this season, how invested were you in the Tigers? And now after seeing this season, how invested are you going to be going forward?
You know, there was once a time in my life, I'd say 2011, 2012, 2013, when the Pistons were just dog water. the Tigers were my number one, like, watch every single game. I didn't even watch every Pistons game back then. The Tigers are bringing me back, and I haven't been this invested since, like, I don't know, Prince Fielder was on the team. Like, I haven't been.
Tyler.
I haven't watched this many Tigers games in a while, like 2014, I want to say.
How many games did you watch this year?
Man, around, I don't know, around like 50, 60?
And how many what? Did you go to?
One, two.
Did you go to before this season?
I would go to one every year. This year, I made a point to go to more than one.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
But I will go to many next year. I will watch many games next year because I do think they have a chance of being a wild card team next year if they get free agents like I think they will. Because, like we said, they're one of the bottom payroll teams, and Chris Ilitch said, you know, he's willing to spend, which we'll see if he puts his money where his mouth is, literally. But I think they have a really bright future, and I'm back watching it. Because, you know, you can't blame me for not watching, like, 2019 and stuff when they were just unwatchable, man. No. Like,
oh, yeah, how dare you not watch in 2019?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Sorry, I apologize to you. Because I made a
video after every game.
Oh man, Tony watched so nobody else had to.
Oh, I watched so you didn't have to.
Man, but yeah, I'm back.
Tony, did you make a post game every game this year?
There were some days I took off, especially at the end of the year, man. It's football season, man.
No, hold up. How about Tony took a day off in the middle of May?
Man, it was my graduation.
No excuses.
Harold Castro walk off Craig Kimbrell. I didn't see a Tony Dombrowski postgame video.
I'm sorry. I graduated. I'm sorry.
Robbie Grossman walk off. No Tony video for
that.
Hey, watch your mouth.
I made a video for that.
Were you watching Tony?
Let's move on to Mike Villica.
Me and Eli were.
Let's move on to Mike Villica now. I'll repeat the question for you. How invested were you in the Tigers before this season, and now how invested are you going to be going forward because of this season?
I was very minorly invested at the beginning of the season.
That's a lie. He wasn't invested at all. He's sugarcoating it to be nice to the audience, man.
The only reason I had any bit of investment into that team is because of you guys. But as the season went on, I would just randomly tune into the games late at night and start to learn about the team. And this is the first season, I think, ever where I could name most of the lineup. Like, it was fun. One thing I'll say about this team is going to every game, you would believe they could win.
Yes, that's actually a really good point. Not just going to the game, but, like, every game you felt like the Tigers had a chance. That's a really good point, because I'll go back to 2019. I famously made a video after every game. And going into each and every night, I would go, all right, who's pitching? Oh, Drew Verhagen. Yep, we're done.
Oh, Lord.
No shout out to Drew. Shout out to Drew. But, like, man, after every game, I'd go into it and be like, yeah, we're probably going to lose. And then if we won, it's like, holy crap, we won. But this year, yeah, it's a really good point by Mike. You went into the game thinking, all right, who's pitching? Hey, we got Mize. Hey, we got Tarek. Hey, we got Willy Peralta, Tyler Alexander, Spencer before he got hurt, Matthew before he got hurt, hey, Matt Manning, hey, a bullpen day. Like, we have a chance in this game. We can definitely pull this out, for sure. So, yeah, that's a great point by you, Mike. Great, great point.
Outside of the one Drew Hutchinson start.
Tony, hey. I want to give a shout-out to you.
You want to give a shout-out to me?
Yeah, for that 2019 season, man. You were a soldier for that.
Well, you know, I had nothing better to do. Oh, goodness. But, I mean, is there anything else that you wanted to say, Mike?
Go Tigers. I'm excited.
Go
Tigers.
Mike, a lot of he's games excited. He's excited.
Mike, I got Mike into minor league baseball this year. We got him into minor league baseball.
I cannot believe we got Mike to go to world famous Toledo and see the Mud Hens play.
We're going and he made TV. Next year, and you know we're going to stay the night.
No, we're not.
Oh,
no, we're not.
No, we're not.
We're staying at the Park Inn.
No, I don't think it's open. Yeah, that would be the day I stay in the Park Inn, even if it's open.
Mike, I'm going to miss the elephant ears, man.
What about the chicken tender basket?
Oh, no, LCA has those, so I'll be fine for Pistons the Wings game this year. But the elephant ears, man, it just doesn't beat a Michigan sunset with some elephant ears. Oh. Nothing beats it.
So and a blue moon Guernsey ice cream. Elephant ears.
Oh, you're really making me miss a summertime game at Comerica Park, man. At night,
I miss Mike's crickets right now. Well, like just us doing the show, like
I don't miss that. That was not fun to edit.
We'll be back next year.
But let's end off the Tigers talk here with Grant, and then we'll unfortunately move into Lions football. Grant, same question to you. How invested were you going into the season, and now how invested will you be going forward because of this season?
I mean, I'm always kind of like, hey, if the Tigers are on and I'm free, I'll throw them on. But, I mean, at the start of the season, I never really set out to watch a Tiger game. But as the season went on, it kind of just was like you kind of hinted at, check who's pitching, see who we're playing, who's pitching against us. And, like, basically if Mize or – I liked watching Matt Manning. I mean, obviously, stuff to work on, a lot of stuff to work on. But, no, it's fun watching the young guys. And, I mean, yeah, I threw the game on if I was available. Let's just say that. But going into next season, I mean – It's getting to be the point of almost appointment television. The Tigers are frisky. They swept. I mean, I'm sure you guys would know better than I, but they swept a couple playoff teams this year, I believe. I mean,
they swept the Yankees. I know for sure. They had a two game sweep against the Brewers.
Count it.
Yeah, count it. Two game sweep is still a sweep, but yeah, the Tigers were surprisingly good against good teams. Their faults this year were the April start and then also just being terrible against the division. Like I didn't realize how bad the Tigers were against the division until Bally showed the actual record in one of the final few games of the season. I was like, oh my, well, that's got to fix going forward. You cannot be that terrible against your division. But nonetheless, continue, Grant.
But, I mean, I think Mike said it best. I'm just going to rephrase how I was going to say it. The Tigers were frisky this year. You didn't show up to a game like, oh, we're going to get crushed. Mm-hmm. Like, we put up 8 runs multiple times. I mean, just we scored on anyone and maybe struggled a little bit in the division. But all in all, it was a great season for a team with very low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean... I jokingly put a bet on the Tigers to win the World Series, which I now realize is not going to cash this year officially. But obviously that was a joke. I didn't have any expectations for the Tigers. I wanted to see some of the young
guys. How much
guys.
Money was to... that? Not to cut you off. I'm just curious.
I mean, it was just $10, so 2 units okay. of what my normal bet is. I mean, it was a nice – the payout was worth it should they just catch fire for multiple months at a time. But
if you would put that, like 50 was... on it, I would have driven to your house and taken your phone away.
I would have called Gamblers Anonymous or whatever that is. I would have
the gambling hotline.
Call me. Yes.
Stop. Get some help.
Gambling hotline. How can I help you? I put money on the Tigers to win the World Series.
Sir, stay right there. We're coming to your door.
Oh,
but no, God. I mean, going forward, just. Hoping to see some of these young guys, some of these young bats. I mean, obviously, Torque is going to be Mr. 30 home runs in the minors. That's going to be incredibly exciting when he gets called up.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like I said, going forward, much more excited. But, it wasn't going to be a playoff season. But I think of all the teams that didn't make the playoffs, I have a hard time finding a team that had more fun than the Tigers.
You know, I saw a tweet earlier today, and that would be Monday morning, I guess, I saw a tweet. It made me giggle, but it's the truth. They said something along the lines of, this was the most meaningful 77 and 85 season of all time. But it's kind of true, you know?
I don't disagree. I mean, it showed that even with a, like, their record was better than their roster. And I think we kind of hinted at that, like, not a ton of talent, very low payroll, but showing up, what, 8 games below 500? That's, considering where we were a couple of years ago, that's amazing. That's great to see going forward.
Yeah.
Tony, I mean, what was their record in 2019, by the way?
They had 47 wins. I remember
a lot of losses.
Yeah, I think it was losses. I think it was 114. It was bad. It was bad.
You know how Grant said the Tigers' record is better than the roster? That's how I feel about the Raiders right now.
Why did you do that? Why?
I'm having a bad day.
I'm out here complimenting you. I paid the Tigers an incredible compliment.
Wow. But
you put it in that sense of
it. I can't believe Tigers did that. Wow, all right, all right. I can't believe Tigers.
All right.
Oh, I can't believe he just did that.
We're waiting in a lightning delay.
Yeah, there's a lightning delay in the Monday night game,
in
apparently.
In a domed stadium.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
So oh, crap. I forgot they're inside. Now people are going to be like, see, Tony, there's still a delay, and they're in a dome. You can't fix delays. Oh,
no. Tony, you need to put the Sandy Tree Dome on SoFi and make it a double dome.
Great. Thanks, Eli. All right. After Tyler's comment about the Raiders, I think it's time to move on. To end off the Tigers talk here, again, it was a really fun and encouraging season. I'm excited as hell for the offseason and counting down the days until next year. I cannot wait to watch Tigers baseball again. I absolutely cannot wait. But until then, we got the Pistons coming up soon. We got the Red Wings coming back shortly. Which, by the way, speaking of that, next week I'm going to teach Eli hockey. Red Wings hockey. You ready for that, Eli?
Oh, you don't even know how
we're
ready
spend,
I am.
We're going to spend a segment. I'm going to teach you Red Wings hockey.
Man, I'm so ready for that.
Oh, we're going to talk some Mo Sider, some Lucas Raymond.
Moritz Sider.
What about Nedeljkovic?
Alex Nedeljkovic, Pew Suter.
They still got what's his name? Nicholas Lindstrom.
Okay, we're done. Eli, we're done here. Next week, I'll teach you Red Wings hockey. That'll be a great time. But moving on here, let's talk Lions, I guess. Let's make it quick, please. I really don't want to spend too much time on this because of how awful that game was on Sunday. That was the first game of the season where afterwards I just thought to myself, yeah, that was not good. That was not good at all. I mean, the first 3 weeks of the season, though they were losses, we could still be like, okay, San Francisco, they fought back at the end, made it interesting. Green Bay, okay, they fought in the first half. Baltimore, probably should have won that game if it wasn't for Justin Tucker doing that. And the 4th-and-19, too, bit of a miscommunication there, but whatever. That game against the Bears, that was just terrible. Defense, offense, Goff, oh, it was all awful. Dan Campbell, he didn't call a good game either. It was just bad all the way around. But here's what I'll mention with that Lions game, and it's something that we've always been talking about on the podcast, but I just feel like it's really worth mentioning right now really quickly. It is a rebuild. It is a rebuild. Oh, but the Lions have been rebuilding for 60 years. I know, but it's actually a rebuild this time. Okay? Like, can we settle down with wanting Dan Campbell fired after 4 games in the first year of what's going to be a long rebuild? Can we settle down? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? No, we're not. We're not firing Dan Campbell, nor should he be. We could go 0-17, and I'm not calling for Dan Campbell's job. This team has no talent. Well, I shouldn't say that. They have some talent, mostly on offense. Okay, Hawk, DeAndre, Jamal Williams.
Jared Goff.
Okay, you're done. Mute your mic and don't unmute until I tell you to. There's a little bit of there's a little bit of talent on this team, but it's not a lot. Okay, there's not a lot of talent on this team. And we're also dealing with some major, major injuries on the defense. Two of the young we thought were going to be building pieces going forward. Jeff Okuda, Romeo Cora, out for the year with Achilles injuries. Frank Ragnow now is going to be out for a little bit, I think, with his turf toe, I believe it is. There's some major injuries on this team. Trey Flowers is gone again. Like, can we just settle down? It's going to be a long year. We've known this. It's going to be a brutal year. We've known this because it's a rebuild. Oh, man. I cannot believe some of the takes I was seeing on Twitter on Sunday and Monday. It's just classic Lions, I guess. Oh, my head hurts. All right, I'm done talking Lions. Tyler, if you want to very quickly mention anything before we end the show with Michigan State, please go ahead.
Great win for Michigan and Camp Randall in Madison, Wisconsin. Big win for them.
He doesn't even want to talk about Lions.
We'll talk about them a different day.
Okay, let's. We're done talking Lions. Let's move it to Michigan State to end the show.
No, Michigan, great gutty performance. You know, that was definitely their best win, and I think
turned off again.
I think you can make a legitimate argument. This was Harbaugh's best win since being, you know, the head coach of Michigan. I think you can make a legitimate argument to go in Wisconsin as an underdog. That was a big win for them. You know, I think it's setting up now for Halloween weekend, Michigan State. There's a legitimate chance both teams could be undefeated going to that game. And
we'll take it one game at a time here.
We're taking it one game at a time. No, definitely. I'm just looking at big picture right now.
Yeah, of course.
But no, I mean, that was a great win for Michigan. You know, that was something they just needed. You know, they haven't won in Wisconsin since 2001. And, you know, they looked very good on defense. Wisconsin had zero answers for them. And I know people are going to say, well, Wisconsin's not a good team. But their three losses. Their three losses have been brutal. I mean, they have had a brutal start to the schedule. Yeah, and I think Wisconsin is better than their record. I know they're 1-3 right now, I think they'll end up with a 9-win season or an 8-win season when it's all said and done.
Well, we'll revisit, I guess.
Their schedule eases up a lot more than what their start was, but they're still not a great team. Like, you know, they're not going to win the Big Ten West, obviously. Three losses is unexcusable, and my laptop's back on. Great. So
a coincidence.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but no, good win for Michigan. They got another road game this Saturday at Nebraska, which, you know, that looked like a joke, you know, a couple weeks ago. But Nebraska has looked like a better team. They gave Michigan State a real fight. 2 weeks ago in Lansing, went to overtime with them. So, you know, Michigan's got a big game there in Nebraska. So
Night
game in Nebraska. So we'll see how they respond after this big win in Wisconsin. Michigan needs to respond with the win. Like, I know they're going to be favored in this game, but they have to take care of business and win this game. And if they can handle with Nebraska, you know, pretty handily, that would be huge as a momentum boost just going forward for the rest of the season. So, good win for Michigan. Michigan State took care of business versus Western Kentucky. Just not really much to talk over there.
Yeah. My thoughts are the same as Tyler. I mean, Wisconsin blows, but that is a huge win for Michigan. I said last week, to Grant, if Michigan wants to prove that this year could, and I stress could, be different, you got to win that game. And they absolutely destroyed Wisconsin in their place on Fox. You know, Fox's big game. They destroyed Wisconsin that game. That is absolutely a big win for Michigan. Give credit to them and just take it a game at a time now. As Joel Klatt put it best, after that game on Saturday on Fox, you got to take it a game at a time. You can't look ahead towards Michigan State. You can't look ahead towards Ohio State, especially Ohio State. You can't look ahead. Got to take it one game at a time. And if you can do that, then you might have a shot against Ohio State. You might have a shot against Michigan State. So, yeah, that's a big win for Michigan. And then Michigan State, I mean, yeah, they handled their business, as Tyler said. I can't complain too much. After the offense put up 42 first half points, you know, they were a bit quiet offensively in the second half, but when you put up 42 first half points, how can you be upset at all? You know, Michigan State they did what they're supposed to do, and they continue to exceed expectations. They are now ranked number 11 in the country. I can't believe that. I did not think at all coming into this season that there would be a point 5 games in where they would be 11 in the country. 11! Like, man, oh my goodness. It's exciting. It's really, really exciting to be a Michigan and a Michigan State fan. I mean, you have a right, if you're a Michigan fan, to be encouraged with what you're seeing. And if you're a Michigan State fan like me, how can you not be excited? I mean, year two with Mel Tucker, technically the first full year, we're already number 11 in the country. Like, come on. It's really exciting. And now for Michigan State, it's on to Rutgers. Road game Saturday afternoon. Let's go. Let's make it 6-0. Let's end today's show with Grant. Quickly talk to me about Michigan and Michigan State as well and their performances from Saturday. Well, actually, you don't have to talk about Michigan State. If you just want to talk Michigan, that's fine.
All right, I'm just going to touch on that. Michigan State is just throttling. Like,
oh, he is trying to talk Michigan actually, State.
It's actually pretty solid to see State thumping teams. Like, just for the Halloween matchup coming in, hopefully both teams undefeated. But,
yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not going to get ahead of myself and say this is a different Michigan team because we've seen this before. Everything's starting to go right.
It's like Ohio the Raiders. State. I'm sorry.
Stop this. I don't deserve
Tyler,
this.
Tyler, I did that for you.
Support, man.
It
was amazing.
Eli, did I tell you to unmute your mic?
I don't deserve any of this.
Continue, Grant.
Oh, man, I don't even know where to go. I'm just getting assaulted with Raiders chirps all of a sudden. I'm just trying to do the show, man. No, I think this is Michigan's biggest win under Jim Harbaugh. And
no, it's up
with
there.
With a not great Wisconsin team, 2-point dogs, which I still think was the craziest line I've seen in a while. Like, I still thought that was severely incorrect, but I mean, coming out and like when we were talking about that bet, Tony, you were saying Harbaugh's what was 0-12 as a road dog.
I think that was the line, yes,
or somewhere around there. I mean, that like,
yeah, he's never won on the road as an underdog.
Yeah, so he was 0-something, and to kind of snap that is cool. But I'm looking ahead in for the Raiders and like. You know, like just kind of looking down the road with Michigan, I'm taking it literally one game at a time. Like, I don't care who they're playing. I know they play State. Like, you obviously know that game, but I don't know what's going on after this Nebraska game. I think it's a bye, but I'm not even like paying attention to down the road yet. You cannot in with Michigan because the moment you take your eyes off the game you have, that's the moment they show their true colors.
Well,
whatever. I said what I said. Yeah, they're the moment you take your eyes off them, man, they'll lose to somebody.
It's all right to be a little optimistic, though. I'll give you that, though.
Definitely. I mean, they're looking good right now, so yeah. you can relish in that. But yeah, you can't be like, oh, guaranteed undefeated coming into Ohio State. Like,
playoff bounds.
There is a lot of football left. Penn State on the schedule. Michigan State, obviously. Michigan sitting ranked 9th. Michigan State 11th. Penn State's in the top 5. Ohio State is floating around there. Like, this is the schedule hasn't even begun for Michigan, in my opinion.
No, I mean, again, just take it one game at a time. You do that, then you might have a shot against Ohio State and Michigan State and Penn State. Just take it one game at a time. That's what I'm doing with Michigan State. That's what I've always done with them. One game at a time. But it is still all right to be encouraged with both teams, Michigan and Michigan State. All right. And with that, I think we're going to wrap up today's show. It's a bit of a longer episode. I apologize for that. But we spent a lot of time talking Tigers. And it was good Tigers talk, so I'm perfectly okay with that. But gentlemen, great show this week. Jay left a long time ago. I forgot to mention that. Jay left a while ago to do his hoop run. He has hoop runs on Monday nights. He left while I was doing my Tigers talk. I've completely forgot to mention that. So if you're wondering why Jay hasn't been talking or why I didn't ask him any questions, It's because he's not here. But nonetheless, gentlemen, great show once again. Eli, do you want to unmute yourself and say goodbye to the crowd?
Yeah, bye, everybody. I'm allowed to be unmuted now. Yeah. Shout out to the Rams. Bounce back next week. Thursday night.
Bounce back. Yep. Let's go. Mike, do you want to say goodbye to the folks at home?
I do want to say goodbye. Go Raiders. Stay undefeated. Woo. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Can I give a shout out, Tony?
Quickly, yes.
Shout out Jared Goff.
No. No, we're ending the show.
Can I just say Raiders 30-20 tonight, and we can laugh at me if I'm wrong tomorrow?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
All right, Raiders 30-20.
Can I ask Grant as well?
Eli, no.
No, wait. This is actual. It's actual. It's actual.
If you say, can I ask Grant? If you mention the name Jared Goff,
Grant.
Grant.
Yo.
If John Gruden wins tonight, will this be his biggest win as coach of the Oakland Raiders?
What?
No, we beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead, circle the stadium, personal Super Bowl.
Okay, but then what happened after that, though? What happened after that?
We fell off like we always do. Dude,
that's why you can't trust the Raiders. Okay.
I mean,
you know who else you can't trust? Tony.
No! We're out. No. We're leaving. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you all for listening. For my entire crew, my name's Tony Nabrowski. We are out of here. I'm rushing this. Goodbye.
Chargers win tonight.
Oh, boy. Goodbye.
That's fair.